Welcome to the show, my friends. Before we jump into today's episode, I have a really exciting announcement. We are hosting our second Creative Rising Gathering here in San Diego on November 21st. It is the Thursday before Thanksgiving, and we are so excited to see you there. Our last gathering was incredible. It was just so great being able to look other photographers in the eye and have in-person heart-to-heart conversations. So if you are longing for in-person community, then come to our gathering November 21st, Skylight Studio here in San Diego. Just go to creativerising.com/gatherings to get all of the info. That's creativerising.com/gatherings. We will see you there. Hey there, friend. Welcome to Creative Rising, a show about what it's really like to run a photography business. I'm Erin Youngren, your host, and my husband is Jeff, and we are the Youngrens. We run a wedding photography business as well as a commercial business here in San Diego, California. And today, I have a show for you that's a little bit different. I don't know if you can hear the nervousness and the anxiety in my voice right now, but I'm about to record an episode that is going to force me to share some pretty vulnerable things with you that I'm afraid to tell you, if you couldn't tell from the title of this episode. But I'm really excited about this. And this is an idea that I came across a couple of years ago as a listener to podcasts. And every so often, these hosts that I really love would do this show. And they would share 10 things that they are afraid to share with their audiences. And I'll be honest, when I would first come across these episodes and I'd read the title and I'd start listening, I'd be like, okay, like this sounds a little bit clickbaity. It sounds like something that they're just using to create, using vulnerability as a way to gain more likes, as a way to build a bigger audience. But honestly, after listening to those episodes, I gained so much respect for those hosts. And I felt like I created a deeper connection with them. And those are actually the episodes that I remember. And so I think that's so fascinating. And I want to do the same thing here. You know, you guys have been on this journey with me with Creative Rising. And you know that I'm an open book when it comes to business. Like there's very little that you can ask me that I wouldn't be comfortable with sharing an open and honest answer. And so while I'm open and honest and raw, I still feel like there's a lot of things that you don't know about me personally. And so I'd love to share with you, you know, some mindset struggles that I have and just some different things that come up for me in my business that I'm going to share with you today. And as I was fleshing this out, I was looking at it and I'm like, okay, I don't want this just to be this episode where I talk about myself, but I was looking through everything and I'm like, you know what? I feel like these are struggles. These are things that so many people out there also struggle with too. So I feel like there's going to be a lot for you in this episode. And if nothing else, I just want you to feel like you're not so alone, that some of the things I'm going to share with you are things that you've experienced too. All right, so here we go. I'm not going to say much more than that, but just let this episode be what it is. I'm going to share with you 10 things that I am afraid to share with you as a listener of this podcast. And I just hope that there's encouragement in here. And honestly, I just hope that there's a deeper connection for you as well. So let's jump into it. The first thing that I am afraid to share with you is that I am afraid that I am getting too old to be a wedding photographer. So I know that I'm not the only one that feels this way because I've had conversations with my other photographer friends that are the same age as I am. And so I feel like this is a common sentiment that one, I am like weddings are just very physically difficult. And I am only 34 years old. Okay, so I don't see myself as an old person at all. But weddings are so physical and they're so physically demanding that it has taken me longer and longer to recover from each and every wedding. And so I have to be so much more mindful about staying physically fit. You know, things like yoga and walking and Pilates and just trying to keep my body healthy so that it can meet the physical demands of a wedding. And I wonder if I'm doing damage to my body by shooting weddings. Is there something that I'm doing that I need to be careful about so that I don't get to 50 or 60 years old and feel the effects of shooting weddings? So that's something that I have in my head that I'm afraid of. But there's also other things about getting old with being a wedding photographer. There's the physical aspect, but there's also the life logistics. And I've talked about this before on the show, so this is not something new, where I, as James gets older and when he gets to school age, I don't want to be working all summer and summer weekends if he has soccer games. So that's something else that I have a concern about. So as you know, we are building our business in a way that will hopefully accommodate for that. Okay, so those are two things, the physical aspect, the life, vision, family aspect. But then there's the last piece of it that is the piece that I'm actually scared to talk about, okay? I feel like I am getting too old for weddings and that I will become irrelevant. And I feel like I am becoming irrelevant already because I feel like I'm just becoming more and more separated from my target market as far as life stage goes. So I started shooting weddings when I was 21 years old, okay? And shooting weddings in your 20s is so different. Yes, there's the physical portion of it. My body was way younger and could handle so much more. It feels, maybe that's true, maybe that's not. But also, I was the same age as my target market, as all of our brides and grooms. And we were in similar life stages. And so we were either younger than our brides and grooms or we were the same age. And now we're older than most of our brides and grooms. They're in their mid to late 20s. And so that makes me nervous sometimes. It's harder for me to feel like I have the same mindset as my brides and grooms. I am not up on all the pop culture. Like, I don't know half of the people that are like the top pop singers these days. Like, every year the Grammys comes around and I'm like, I have no idea who half these people are that they're talking about. I don't know all the memes on social media. Like, I'm becoming more and more separated from all those things as I get older. And so there's a lot more challenges there with me staying in the mindset of my ideal client and speaking to them in a way that's relevant and doesn't make me seem like I'm just some old person that doesn't get them. And I'm only 34 years old. That's the thing. I am not old, but that's something that crosses my mind. Now, with a lot of things that I'm going to be talking about in this episode, a lot of it's like mindset stuff. So there's going to be a lot of limiting beliefs coming out that are true, but not true, right? So I'll be talking about these limiting beliefs, but I'm also going to be talking about how I work on reframing them, because while I feel these things and they're real and I want to share them because I want you to know that I have these same fears and concerns too, I also actively work on reframing those limiting beliefs into something that's going to be helpful. So, am I too old for my target market? That could be true, that could not be true. I'm just getting older and that's a reality of business. And so what do I need to do that I didn't used to have to do to overcome that challenge? So I'm aware of that. But at the same time, I still get that feeling of like, oh man, I just feel old sometimes. And sometimes I feel like I'm getting too old to shoot weddings. So that's fear number one. The second thing that I am afraid to share with you is that I have never had to do this business by myself. So I have always been in business with my spouse, with my husband, Jeff. And so I am afraid that I don't understand what it is like to run a business by myself. And I'm afraid that that creates a separation between me and my ideal students. So when I teach and when I educate other photographers, I'm afraid that I just don't get it. Like that I don't understand the same challenges of having to do this on your own. And that makes me feel guilty sometimes. It makes me feel ashamed. It makes me feel like I just don't understand where you guys are at if you're doing this by yourself. Now, being married to your spouse and running a business with them brings its own set of challenges, right? So I have to deal with a whole host of things that maybe you don't have to deal with when you do it by yourself. So there's a trade-off there, and I totally understand. But I also worry that I just don't get what it's like to do it by yourself. Now, this podcast has actually been a really interesting experience for me, and I'm going to be talking about that in this episode too. And I feel like with this podcast, I've had to do a lot more things on my own simply because It's something that I have ownership over more than Jeff does. He supports me 100% and he helps me out a lot with the podcast. But I also feel like it's brought me to that place of learning how to do something by myself from the beginning, from scratch. And so I do feel like I'm getting a little bit more of that lesson in what it's like to be by myself and make something happen. The third thing that I am afraid to tell you is that I have a really hard time with social media. And I know that there's a lot of you out there that will hear that and say, yes, Erin, me too. You would say the same thing. So I don't feel like I'm alone in that. But why I'm afraid to tell you that is because I educate on branding, on marketing, on how to get more business. And part of that is teaching about social media. Like one of our first episodes of this podcast is how to build a social media marketing system. And it's hard for me to admit to you guys that I have a really hard time with social media. It doesn't come naturally to me. I am not a personality that has this like natural inclination towards social media. So there's a lot of struggles that I experience. It's really hard for me to be open and honest online. I struggle a lot with comparison. I struggle with feelings of rejection when something doesn't get liked or doesn't meet my expectations. I feel really rejected and I feel a lot of discouragement and disappointment there. And it kind of causes me to shut down. And it's really easy for me to look at other photographers that started their business at the same time that we did. So back in the 2005, 2006, you know, all the way up to 2010, that kind of era, it's easy for me to look at photographers that started their business at that same time, but they've like shot up and grown their businesses to multi-million dollar businesses. So they have far surpassed what we've done in our business. Now, that comparison is not helpful, right? Like all of you will probably hear that and say, okay, Erin, it's okay. Like you're doing great in your business. And I get that because I would say the same thing to you. If you were saying this to me, I'd be like, you're doing awesome. It's your journey. It's your story. Don't pay attention to what everyone else is doing. Play your own game. Those are all things I would say to you, and I'm sure you would say back to me. But I just want you to know that I still feel that way, and it's there. And so I get it with that struggle. Now, part of this is that I am an Enneagram 5, and I am the kind of personality that I am not necessarily a go-getter, doer, aggressive kind of personality. And so I feel like my personality, I'm much more internal. I'm much more in my head. I love connecting one-on-one with people and having really deep, rich conversations. And I don't feel like that lends itself to social media. So I think to myself, man, I am just not wired for this. I am just not the kind of person that has this natural knack for social media. And so I feel like being in the world of social media and online business, it feels to me like I am surrounded by a culture, by a online world that is filled with Enneagram 3s, that is filled with 7s, like my husband, and that is filled with 8s. Those are the kinds of personalities and numbers that have tons of energy. They're the doers. They're the aggressive numbers. While I am a more passive, withdrawing personality, I'm what's called doing repressed. And so I rely on thinking first, I rely on my feeling second, and then doing is this long lost third thing that isn't natural to me. Like getting out and doing something that I feel is risky or challenging, I have to be very conscious about actually doing that. And I have to be really conscious about exercising that skill. Doing is not something that comes naturally to me. It takes effort and intention for me to be a doer. And I feel like that really plays out with social media. I have to overcome a lot of challenges to do what I do. And there's a lot of times when it's just not fun. It's just not pleasant. But social media, I have chosen to be something that is critical for our business. I have said, this is something that we need to do in order to get the clients that we want and in order to get my message out there. And so because I've chosen social media as a part of our business, I need to work really hard at it and I need to overcome those challenges. which actually brings me to the fourth thing that I am afraid to tell you. The fourth thing is that this podcast experience has been a really, really challenging experience for me. I absolutely love this podcast. I love the content. I love the interviews. I love the people. I love creating these stories, and I love how I'm doing it. Like, I am so proud of the fact that this podcast is so different than any other creative industry podcast that is out there. And I am extremely proud of what I've created. That creation process is what I love. Everything else that goes along with it, the promotion, the marketing, the social media, that has all been such a challenging experience. And I'm going to be really honest about that because it's not something that I'm naturally good at, or at least that's what I tell myself, right? That maybe that's a limiting belief. But what I have chosen to step into during this process is that, yes, it is really unpleasant. It's not fun leaning into these challenges, but I have chosen to prove to myself that I can do this. Okay. So I have historically been someone that where I've experienced a lot of resistance in an area of my personality or my business, there are things that I just haven't been willing to face. And I will more so just like ignore it or give up or just say, you know what, like I'll come up with something that'll convince myself that it's not worth it. Right. And so, but then like with the podcast, it took me a couple of years to actually get this thing off the ground because I kept convincing myself that there were good reasons why I shouldn't do it. Well, I'm finally doing it. Right. But the process has been so hard and so challenging that I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm finally doing it. And now it's hard. Well, that's a good thing, but I have to intentionally remind myself, this is good. This is going to be a growth opportunity for me. And it is a growth opportunity. And dang it, I'm going to prove to myself that I can do this. And so if you are one of those people that has come up against challenges, or you've, you know, you haven't moved forward in an area of your life and you just don't know why, like you experience a lot of resistance in that area of your life and you're like, why am I not at the place that I've wanted to be in this area of my life? Well, I am there with you. I have been there. And right now I am leaning into that resistance and I'm facing it head on. And so I'm in that process right now. And I will tell you, it's not fun. It's not pleasant. I wonder a lot of times if it's worth it, but where I come to is that, you know what, even in the unpleasant, even in the not fun, I am going to lean into this challenge and I'm going to prove to myself that I can do it. And I'm going to get as much value as I possibly can out of this process. Even if this whole thing fails, I'm going to get value out of it. Now, along with that, in this season, I did an episode on failure. It's episode 203. If you haven't listened to it, oh my gosh, listen to that episode. If this is resonating with you right now, you are going to get so much out of that episode. You're going to love it. And Dane Sanders was my guest on that episode, and he talked about how there's certain people that are aware of their wiring and they're aware of their limitations, right? So I am aware of how it is a limitation for me that I am not naturally good at social media. I am not naturally good at marketing. And he says that there are people that are aware of that, but then they choose to overcome and do those things that they want to do in spite of their wiring. And those are the ones that actually truly learn and gain the most from those challenges. So they're the ones that you're like, oh my gosh, like they had so much to overcome and they did it where it was natural to this other person that did it. And it's kind of not as impressive. So I know for me, when I learn from other educators, from other people that are coaching and teaching, I actually don't like learning from people that I'm like, well, this whole thing comes so naturally to you that you don't get the challenges that I'm facing. Like, you don't understand where I'm coming from, that I don't have that natural inclination. So when you tell me to just go do it, it actually shuts me down. When you tell me to just make it happen, that makes me feel ashamed that I can't just make it happen. I actually really like learning from people that come from the same place that I do, that come from the same wiring or have those same challenges, and they figured out how to overcome it. So when I teach about social media, I am really tempted to not teach about social media. I'm really tempted to say, well, I'm not naturally good at it, so I'm not going to share what I do to make social media work for me. But what I've realized is that There are those of you out there that are in the same boat as I am, that social media is not easy for you. It doesn't come naturally and it's really hard. And so I can bring so much more value to you because I am learning how to do it, how to make it work, and how to make it valuable for my business. And so that's where I've come to when I've said, okay, I'm going to continue teaching about branding and marketing and social media because I can figure out how to make it work, even though I'm a personality that struggles with it. Because I know that you can learn so much more from that because I have overcome challenges that you are facing as well. All right. So I hope that's all helpful for you. The fifth thing that I am afraid to tell you is that sometimes I really wish that we didn't have such a big business and such a big team. Sometimes I would just love to go back to the days when it was just Jeff and me and we were just working out of a guest bedroom in our home, and time seemed so much simpler because having a team is hard. And sometimes I worry that we just have too much going on, that we're spread too thin. And I fantasize about what it would be like to just go back to having one thing to focus on instead of all the things that we have now. Like we could focus on just our weddings and that's it, and how life would be amazing, right? Okay, of course, this is just a fantasy and it's just a way for me to mentally escape any current stress that I'm feeling, right? Like escaping into the past and making the past into some idealized version of perfection, when in reality, when we were in that place, it wasn't as perfect and lovely as I make it up to be in my head, right? It's simply a mental escape for me. And that's okay. We all have our things, right? When we're stressed, I'm sure I am not the only one that fantasizes about what a simpler life would look like, right? And how that life would be so perfect. Well, in reality, you're just making trade-offs. Like I have grown and developed so much because of our team and our big business, and I'm learning so much in this hard, challenging process that I am deeply grateful for where we are. Even though sometimes I just wish that it could all go away and we could just have a simple life. Well, that's just a mental fantasy and I'm okay with that, but I wanted to share that with you. All right, so I'm going to switch gears now and I'm going to go from business and mindset into some different life stuff. And so number six, the sixth thing that I'm afraid to share with you is actually probably the most difficult one for me to talk about because it's something that can be a really touchy subject. And I am totally open to talking about anything and everything with my faith. This one is all about faith. And I am a super open book when it comes to religion, when it comes to Christianity, when it comes to what I believe about God, anything like that. And honestly, no topic is really off limits for me when I'm in a conversation with someone. Like if you ask me a question, like I said before, there are very few questions I won't answer honestly and truthfully. And that is very much true for me when it comes to faith. But the reason I'm afraid to talk about my faith here is because our times right now, our cultural times right now are super divisive. And this podcast is a one-way conversation. So as I'm speaking, I don't have any in-person face-to-face feedback with you. I can't look you in the eyes and say, you know, does this resonate with you? Do you have any questions? Where are we at? Like you can make a lot of assumptions about what I'm saying, and I can't be there necessarily to just answer those questions or to clear up any confusion in the moment. So if you want to have a conversation with me about this after you hear my story, then 100% send me a DM on Instagram, shoot me an email. I would absolutely love that. If there's something I say that you're like, oh, I don't know about that, or oh, that's really interesting, I'm really curious about that, I would love to have that conversation. So do not hesitate to get in touch with me. Okay, so the thing that I'm afraid to tell you is that I do not identify with the evangelical church, and I don't consider myself an evangelical Christian. I do consider myself a Christian, and I am a deep believer in God, and I am extremely spiritual. But I'm going to tell you more about what, you know, being a Christian and all that means for me as I tell you my story, okay? Over the last 10 years, starting in 2008, I have gone through a very long period of deconstruction with my faith. And I would love to share this story with you because when I share this story, there seems to be so many people out there that are experiencing a similar journey with their faith, that are somewhere along the spectrum of questioning and deconstructing where they're at with the church, where they're at with what they believe about God, and what they believe to be true about religion and spirituality. And I think hearing other people's stories like mine can be a really life-giving resource so you don't feel so alone in that process. So I'm going to tell you my story. So my family is not a Christian family. Like, I didn't grow up in an evangelical context. In fact, I think that I'm probably the only one in my family that would have ever called themselves an evangelical Christian or someone who is, you know, gave their life to Christ. But at the same time, my mom still took me and my sister, my siblings, to a Methodist church growing up. So I did grow up in Sunday school. I grew up in a church context. I remember, you know, the Bible stories with the felt boards. Like, I remember all of that. I learned about Noah's Ark. I learned about Adam and Eve. I learned about, you know, Moses and all of those Bible stories. But I didn't grow up in the evangelical church, like the mega church. I didn't grow up in youth group or anything like that. So when I was growing up, I didn't know what it meant to have a relationship with Jesus or with God or anything like that. So I was invited to a youth camp when I was 16 years old. It was a winter camp, and that was where I first came into contact with my first experience with God, my first direct experience with interacting with his presence, hearing his voice, and really hearing him come into my life. And that was when I became a Christian. That was when I, you know, what people would call, I gave my life to Christ and I was saved. That's what they would say in the evangelical church. And so after that point, I took a deep dive into the church culture and I became involved in several different youth groups and I just fell in love with Jesus. I fell in love with God and I was on fire. That's a word that the church would use, right? I was on fire for Christ. And it was a really wonderful period. I had people that were discipling me. I had great youth pastors. I had a really great experience. And I decided to go to a Christian college, Point Loma Nazarene University here in San Diego, which is what brought me from small town Idaho to San Diego. And what's so funny is that at the time, Christianity was so new to me that I was like, wait, I can go to a school that is nothing but other people who believe in Jesus too. That sounds amazing. Like, I was so enthralled by this idea that I was like, I am going to a Christian college. And before that, it didn't even cross my mind that that even existed. So I went to Point Loma Nazarene, loved my experience there. That's where I met Jeff. I worked at a Christian summer camp, Hume Lake Christian Camps. Jeff worked there as well. And that's where I don't like using this word, but I became indoctrinated into the church culture. But what I really mean by that is that I just became so in love with the church and with everything that it offered. And I, you know, played the youth games and I, you know, did the worship sessions and everything was just amazing. Well, after I graduated college, Jeff and I got married and, you know, we're doing life. And, you know, I wasn't surrounded by that culture anymore. And some questions started popping up in my brain. And like I said, I'm an Enneagram 5 and I am a deep questioner. I love questioning things. I love taking big concepts apart, questioning all of it, and then putting it all back together into one, you know, nice puzzle that I can understand. And so questioning for me is extremely natural and it just feels really right to me. And so there were a couple times when it felt like I wasn't given permission to question during that period. And it started feeling a little weird where I'm like, what's going on? Well, in 2008, it was the time of the 2008 elections, right? Obama gets elected. And during the time, there was a Proposition 8 on the ballot here in California. And if you guys don't remember what that was, it was a proposition to basically ban gay marriage in California. And so a lot of mega churches, including one that we were attending, came together and they supported this proposition. And a lot of things that our pastor was saying from the stage was things against gay marriage. And I remember thinking, man, like what he's saying doesn't really make sense to me. It doesn't really square with my life experience. Like, because I didn't come from a church culture growing up, I had gay friends. I knew gay people. And what he was saying just didn't really make sense with the experience that I had with them. And so I started wondering if what the church was telling me was really the full story. Now, when it came time to vote, I made the decision that in order to be a good Christian, I need to do what is right and I need to do what the Bible says. And so I voted for Proposition 8, which means that I voted against gay marriage. And that's something that's really hard for me to say today, because as soon as the election was over, I heard the next day on the radio that Proposition 8 passed, that gay marriage was banned in California, and my stomach sank. And I immediately thought, oh my goodness, what happened? What have we done? And I knew in that moment that what I had done was not of my own thinking, was not my own decision, but I did something because I felt obligated. And that just didn't feel right to me. Now, was it the church that was making me make that decision? No, I chose to make that decision. But from that point forward, I decided that I would stand on my own two feet and that I wouldn't ever discount or push aside my own intellect and my own experience that the Lord has given me. And I wasn't going to let the church make up my mind for me. I would question, I would think, and I would just incorporate my life experience into my faith. Now, at the time, I couldn't have eloquently told you any of that. At the time, I felt hurt. I felt betrayed by the church. I felt like I trusted the church, and I trusted what the church had taught me because it was so good to me and it had changed my life. But after that experience, I basically lost my faith. So over the next several years, I felt just really far from God. I felt really far from my spirituality, and I lost everything that I had, which was hard. There's a grieving process that's involved in that because everything that I held on to be true, I was questioning whether that was true or not. And so it felt like I was floating. I felt in this weird no man's land of, what do I believe now? You know, it felt so good to be a part of this world, this community, and to have a God that loves me and a Jesus that I can follow and a Bible that I could take to be true. And it's hard losing all of that. Now, I didn't grow up in the church, like I said. And so for those who do grow up in the church, I feel like that grieving process can be more intense. It's hard leaving everything that you know to transition into something that is just so different than what you grew up knowing. And I get that. And that is so difficult. So I just want to pause for a second and say, if that is you, if you find yourself in that place, you're okay. And there are other people that have experienced it as well. And allow yourself to grieve if that is what's wanted and needed in this process. It is hard losing your faith and losing your relationship with a God that has been a part of your life for so, so long. But here's the hope. Here's the good news. The Lord didn't leave me there. Okay. The Lord pursued me. So we led a retreat, a Christian retreat with one of our friends, which was so funny at the time because I was like, why me? Like, I don't even believe this stuff anymore. And yet I feel like a complete fraud. I felt like a fraud going to church. I felt like a fraud leading this retreat. And I felt like I was just going through the motions and making everyone believe I was a Christian when in reality, I really didn't actually believe anything that I was talking about. But I was at this retreat and we were doing an exercise where we were to sit down and journal and ask the Lord for a word. And the word was, Lord, what do you want to be for me during this season in my life that you couldn't be during any other season? Give me a word. And I'm sitting there and I'm journaling and I'm like, okay, please, like the Lord is not going to give me a word. The Lord doesn't speak. And it felt like this overwhelming silence. And I felt completely ridiculous. But then out of that silence came a word. And it came from the Lord's voice. And I now recognize that as the Lord's voice. And he gave me this word, new. And in that moment, I completely broke down. Like I was in a place in my life where I felt like I had built up so many walls. And this is not just having to do with faith. This is having to do with my childhood, with how I grew up, with what I was believing to be true about myself. I had built up so many walls and I felt so empty on the inside. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know who I wanted to be. I was in a place where I just felt really lost. And it was like he took this hammer and he created this first gigantic crack in all of those walls with that word new. And he said, Aaron, I am going to break down these walls and I'm going to take who you currently are and I'm going to make you into who you need to be, who I want you to be, and who I see you as. I'm going to make you into the new Aaron that is the real you. And that launched this whole process of rebuilding who I am today. And that was, I want to say it was 2011, 2012 when that happened. And ever since, the Lord has taken me on a journey where he has shown me his heart, he's shown me his presence, and he's shown me who he is. And the most beautiful thing about it is that he basically stripped away all of the constructs, all of the beliefs that I had just taken from the church. And I'd said, okay, so this is how things are, you know, X, Y, Z. But he took that all away and he said, Aaron, instead of believing what you think you should believe, I want you to experience me. I am going to gift you with my presence and my heart. And I'm going to take you on a journey where we're going to get to know each other for reals this time. And that is exactly what's happened. And you guys have heard our fertility journey, and that was a part of this journey. He transformed me. He made me new. He took me through a transformational coaching, and he has created this whole new life inside of me. And I like to say, it's not that he made me into somebody new. I feel like he stripped away all of the stuff that I was carrying and made me who I actually am and has made me free to be who I am. And so today, I am someone who is curious. I'm someone that questions. I'm someone that explores. I'm someone that loves to wonder. And I love to just let things not be clear. I love to just explore the nature of God, the nature of being, the nature of love, the nature of goodness. And I feel like I'm in a place where I have such a interesting, fun, dynamic relationship with the Lord that I am so extremely grateful for. So when I say that I'm not an evangelical Christian or I'm a deconstructed Christian or whatever you want to call it, what I mean to say is that I just love my relationship with God and everything that he has taught me and everything that he is teaching me now. You know, I was listening to Richard Rohr, and he was saying this thing about the mystery of faith that really resonated with me, and I feel like it puts into context what I'm trying to say here. He says that the mystery of faith, when we say mystery, it's not that mystery means that we won't ever know or that we can't know. It's not that we say that there's no way of knowing who God is or what faith is. Mystery instead means that we won't ever come to the end of knowing. We won't ever come to a place where everything is known and there will always be more to learn. And I love that. I feel like that is where I'm at. I am willing to explore that mystery and discover everything that there is to discover. And I know I will never come to the end of it. I know I will never know all of the absolute truth in the world. And I'm completely okay with that because of what the Lord has done in my life and how he has transformed me from the inside out. I am a lover of scripture. I dig into the Bible and I love the stories and the promises and the people and the humanity of the Bible. I love studying his traditions. I love experiencing his presence. I pray, I meditate. So all of that is a part of my faith. And I go to church and I'm part of a church body, but I feel like I am open now to so much more curiosity and wonder than I was before. And I absolutely love that. So if you are anywhere along that spectrum of deconstruction, of questioning, of wondering what's going on, if you're, you know, not there at all, that's totally great. But I just want you to hear my story and hear, you know, where I'm at. And if any of it resonates with you, that's wonderful. If you're in this place, then here's some books that I would recommend reading, some podcasts that I love listening to that will help you along in the journey. And I'm going to put these in the show notes as well as the episode page. So if you go to creativerising.com/207, you'll see this list of books and podcasts that I love that I would recommend for you in your journey. First, Rob Bell, Love Wins and What is the Bible? Both wonderful books that I feel like help that questioning process. Rachel Held Evans, oh my gosh, the sweetest soul ever. Searching for Sunday is her story of deconstruction, and it's very gentle, very graceful, and lovely. And then Inspired, her take on reading the Bible. Donald Miller is awesome. He's the guy behind StoryBrand, but his books Blue Like Jazz and Searching for God Knows What, amazing reads. He's a classic and love him. And then right now, I'm reading Richard Rohr's Universal Christ. I love Richard Rohr, and he's just a wonderful, amazing mentor and just father of the faith. Podcasts that I love listening to. I'm a huge podcast junkie. I love The Liturgist, The Bible for Normal People. Also, during this whole process, anything that you can listen to by Graham Cook, he has this sermon called The Art of Thinking Brilliantly that helped me so much throughout this whole thing to think differently about my faith and my identity in the Lord. And so I'm going to link directly to that sermon on Spotify because sometimes it can be hard to find. Graham Cook, The Art of Thinking Brilliantly. All right, so I know that that was number 6 and we have 10 to go, but those were the biggest things. And so the next ones are going to be a lot shorter, I promise. The 7th thing that I am afraid to tell you is also a shift from what we've been talking about. But I sometimes fantasize about going and working in politics. So I am a huge politics junkie. I listen to political podcasts all the time. And we shoot a lot of couples that have gone to Ivy League schools and have like all of these amazing degrees. And we photograph a lot of lawyers. We have a lot of couples that live in Washington, D.C. and are doing these really amazing things in government, in nonprofits. And they're doing things that I'm like, man, that would be so incredible to do. And so sometimes I think to myself, man, I regret not going to an Ivy League school and, you know, going on and getting my master's or going on to law school and becoming a lawyer that I could go and then change the world doing something. So I have fantasies about that as far as like, if I weren't doing this, what would I do instead? So I just want to put that out there that that's totally something that I'm completely into. Now, I love my job. I love being a photographer and I don't regret this life whatsoever. If I didn't go to Point Loma Nazarene, I would never have met Jeff, and he is just the thing in my life that I love more than anything. And so thinking about that other life, I'm like, oh, that would have been great. But I wouldn't have Jeff. I wouldn't have my job. I wouldn't have James. And I'm pretty happy where I'm at. The 8th thing that I'm afraid to tell you about is that my maternity leave with James was a really wonderful time. I had a great time and I really loved being able to spend so much one-on-one quality time with James during those months. But maternity leave was also extremely difficult, and there were times when I made it way harder on myself than it needed to be. I wanted to make sure that James was on a schedule. I wanted to make sure that he napped. I wanted to, you know, really pay attention to his feedings and to how he slept. And so sometimes I would just go overboard with that, and I would stress myself out over making sure that I was doing everything right. And that, in some ways, you know, it made my maternity leave not as pleasant of an experience as it could have been. Like, I could have loosened, now that I'm along the road and I look back, I'm like, I could have loosened up a little bit and everything would have been fine. Now, obviously, I can't go back and change things, so I need to be okay with it. And I was just a new mom. I didn't know what I was doing. And so I was just using information and routine and schedules as a way to cope with everything. Now, am I really glad that I had him on a routine, I had him on schedules, and I did everything that way? Yes, 100%. I will totally do that again if we are blessed with another child at any point. But now I know where I can loosen up, where I can bend the rules, and how things actually work. Of course, a next child is going to be completely different than James, so who knows? But, you know, the thing that I just want to say is that I could have made maternity leave easier on myself looking back on it. The 9th thing that I want to say that I'm afraid to share with you is that there have been times when I have wanted to quit shooting weddings, like over and over again. Okay, there's been a lot of moments where if something has gone wrong with a client or a client is unhappy, or I'm exhausted on the wedding day, and I've just wondered, like, is this worth it? And I want to quit. Okay. And I know that there are people out there. If it's not you, I know there's people out there that have thought these same things, because when you run your own business, it's so hard and it's so challenging and it's easy to get really discouraged on yourself. So if you've had those thoughts of like, I just want to quit, I just want to give it up and go do something else, I have felt the same way. Like 13 years into it, there have been times when I've said, oh my gosh, like I would just rather go get a corporate job, get a paycheck every 2 weeks, have them give me my vacation time, and at the end of the day, just leave my work at the office and come home and not have to worry about it, right? I have fantasized about that and been like, that would be so much better. That would be so much easier if I just had somebody else telling me what to do. But then I remind myself the trade-offs, right? I am in this business because of freedom. I'm in this business because I get to be with my son, James. I'm in this business because I get to do this really cool podcast. And there's no way I could do that if I had a corporate job. And so I remind myself why we're in this. I remind myself of my why, right? And so that's why it's so important to know your why. But in case you've ever wondered those same things, I have been there too. I totally get it. The last thing that I want to share with you is that Kelsey is our studio manager, and she is actually the person that currently writes all of our wedding blogs. And if there's an Instagram that is for one of our wedding couples, she actually writes those Instagrams and she ghostwrites for me. So for years and years and years, I did all of the copywriting and I wrote all of our blogs. But leading up to maternity leave, we realized that I needed to hand that portion off. And that was really hard for me to do. But Kelsey is this extremely talented writer. And I knew, like, I need to take advantage of this opportunity to be in maternity leave and literally not do anything in my business except for post to Instagram every so often and photograph my weddings. And so I really wanted to have that freedom. So leading up to maternity leave, we transitioned that over to Kelsey. And she has killed it. She is so good at it. And so I'm not ashamed to say that Kelsey ghostwrites my blogs for me. But, you know, it makes me nervous to say that because it makes me feel like, oh my gosh, is anyone going to take me seriously? Are they going to think that I'm not working in my business anymore and that I actually don't know what I'm doing? No, those are all lies. I know what I'm doing. I've written blogs for years and years and years. I write all of our other Instagram posts. I write all of our content for photographers. I only work in our business part-time. And so part of being a business owner is understanding where I need to work and spend effort in my business. And so that is not the best use of my time anymore. The best use of my time is pouring into you guys, this podcast, educational content, and helping you guys run a better business with the part-time hours that I have. So that was a decision that we made, and I don't regret it whatsoever. It's been an amazing decision. Kelsey is awesome. Those are the 10 things that I am afraid to tell you. And so they're out there. They're out in the world. Of course, I only just recorded this. And so when this actually publishes and go live and this is in your earbuds and you listen to all of this, that's when everything gets super real. So I really hope that all of this was helpful for you, that you were able to gain some insight into what it's like as a business owner and the struggles that I face and the journey that I've been on. And I hope that there's some ways that you resonate with all of this and that you can relate to it as well. I don't want this just to be a thing all about me, but the reason why I ultimately decided to do this episode was because I knew that hearing this from other podcasts that I love, it impacted me. And it made me feel like, you know what? I got this. They struggle with the same struggles as I do. And so I am okay and everything is going to be great because their business is amazing and my business can be just as amazing as theirs. So let this be an encouragement to you. Thank you for joining me here on Creative Rising. And if you have any questions about anything I talked about, if you have any questions about deconstructing your faith, if you have any questions about mindset and what it's like to be a business owner, about handing things off to, you know, other people, then please send me a DM on Instagram, shoot me an email, comment in our free Facebook group, our Creative Rising community. If you're not in that community, you'll find the link in the show notes at the episode page, Creative Rising. ianbrandon.com/207. Get yourself in the group and ask a question there. That is a place where, again, I am open and honest with any answers that I give you guys. So that's where you're going to get the most interaction from me, is in the Facebook group. Otherwise, shoot me a DM or send me an email. Love you guys. I will see you next time here on Creative Rising.